get busy. Only name mentioned with mine is Kendrick and Nipsey.
Young Richie.
I've been here to bless the booth, even through uneasy times, considered recession proof. Cities under siege and quarantine from Corona, trying to move product from Arizona to Florida. Dealing with the government crises and the lockdown, conspiracy theorists from Donald Trump and the Rothschilds. We living in some fucked up times by any means. Not gonna let them fuck up mine. I'm 10 toes down and holding my pivot, ready to die for the breath that I'm giving. I'm living, yeah.
Starting underground ain't easy. Riding to the top, still reaching. Even when you felt defeated, you know you ain't, know you ain't. You found the ones who match your vision. Now to make it out so we can dominate.
Don't wait till I'm gone to say that I'm great. Never needed your love, you showed it too late. Never defeated, hustle determines my fate. For the niggas that's from the bottom, I know they relate. Either dying a legend or you just dying alone. Will I make it or fail? At least I tried on my own. If I fall, I'ma get up, then I'm right back on the road. I ride for my niggas, whether they right or they wrong. How could they never believe? I'm not no regular nigga. Can't let them see if I bleed. My shit ain't regular, nigga. I'm something special, nigga. Blood of a running slave, heart of a rising king. Spirit I never betray. Hey!
You already know what it is, nigga. 21 gun salute. We live by it, we die by it. Rich.
Three, two, one. Happy Mother's Day to all the quarantine reviewers out there, from sea to shining sea. Shout out to my mom, Virginia. Shout out to my sister, Elizabeth. Shout out to friend of the show, Terry Carr, Mama Carr. All the mothers out there. JB, your extended family. Give your Mother's Day shout outs, please.
Shout out to, first of all, Mama, looking down on Freddie Bridges, the queen herself. And then all the rest of aunties, sister-in-laws, sisters, all my baby mamas, shout out,
Like a rap song intro.
I done sent out all my happy birthday texts, I'm good with mine, though. That's the thing.
Right, exactly.
I'm good with mine. Like, I got this situation with the one right now, but we getting that cleared up. But I'm good with mine. We cool.
That's
so all the mamas out there, Happy Mother's Day, y'all amazing.
Yep.
If you ain't doing your motherly duties properly, step your game up, Because them kids need you in the worst way, So enjoy your Mother's Day, Enjoy those meals getting cooked for you, Enjoy those flowers and candy and all that good stuff. Hopefully the kids leave your ass alone for a little while, Your motherly duties kind of slow down, not stop, but just kind of, we're doing 35 right now, we ain't doing 70, So
right.
Hopefully, I'm wishing that for all the mamas out there, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Rest in peace to three pioneers of the music industry. Andre Harrell, the King of Rock and Roll, Little Richard, and Betty Wright actually passed away. He actually coined the phrase, no pain, no gain. So those who are unaware, three people, JB, especially when you think of Diddy, a.k.a. Puff, a.k.a. Brother Love, there really isn't the exact same story of Puff without Andre Harrell.
Right.
Like Uptown Records and like Jodeci and Mary J. Blige. People forget, like, Puff is the ultimate hustler.
Right.
But as you know, being a music fan, you know that without Andre Harrell, it's not quite the bad boy, the whole thing.
No bad boy, there's no none of that. No Craig Mack, no Big, no none of that. People don't really know the history of Harrell and Diddy. Diddy was an A&R, for Uptown. And he was moving around crazy, man, trying to find talent. And, of course, everybody's seen the movie, the Notorious movie where they showed the issue with Puff. And he was just like, it wasn't what he wanted, He wanted to be the boss. He wanted to run his own deal. No disrespect to Harrell and Uptown, but he was just like, that ain't what I want for myself. Like, I want more, you know what I'm saying? So, but the man discovered so much talent, man. He kept, and people don't understand and don't realize it's two different Hollywoods, it's two different music businesses, just like it's two different justices in the United States of America, right? You got black and you got white. It just is what it is, you know what I'm saying? So Pharrell kept it 100, he kept it black, period. You know what I'm saying? Like, he wanted these young black people to be, that were talented, you know what I'm saying, to get in the business and to get going and to make their money and to be everything done properly. You know what I'm saying? That's what Pharrell's about, man. So shout out to him. Mr. Little Richard from Macon, Georgia. You know what I'm saying? Mr. Woo himself, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, what can you not say about Little Richard, man? You know what I'm saying? He was the one. You know what I'm saying? He is modern day father of rock and roll, bottom line, no questions asked, no comparison. He's the originator. You know what I'm saying? Don't get me started with his whole little spiel, you know what I'm saying? But we all know how he got down, you know what I'm saying? He ain't conceited, he's just convinced, he's confident. He was what he was, and he was a jewel, man. Just when you look, you listen to the way he got down on that piano and his voice, the way it came across and how powerful his voice was, he ain't even no microphone. It was amazing. And then Miss Betty Wright, what can I say about her? All I can say is that it's been a many morning, you know what I'm saying? And I woke up as a kid and cleaning the house, and I hear Miss Betty Wright, you know what I'm saying? Tonight is the night. No, you're not gonna sing that song, you know what I'm saying? That's tonight is the night, no pain, no gain, you know what I'm saying? After the Pain, which is my favorite song Betty Wright ever made, After the Pain.
Wow.
Right? That was my shit. All right, so rest in peace to her. She did it at Hollow for a long time, man. So we pioneers going, you know, we meant to die. That's what we're on earth for. But while you here, what you gonna do with that? That's kind of the thing, you know what I'm saying? So.
Exactly. All the younger viewers, go do your research. Go run. They're all on the streaming platforms, just like we are. We are on all streaming platforms. Follow us at JB and Benny Blue on all social media. JBandBennyBlueReview.com for past episodes, content, and all that stuff. Now, look, we have a distinguished guest who's been looking at the camera, wondering when the hell are these two going to shoot the hell up and let me start talking. JB, I want you to introduce your personal friend. And former teammate in the most illustrious way you possibly can, good sir.
My review is today. We are honored, great to have, to be graced by the presence of a young man who I encountered years ago in the NFL, you know what I'm saying? And I truly call my brother, you know what I'm saying? I'm glad that he's coming on the show. He's an intellectual man, you know what I'm saying? From the Bay, it's town business. We got going
town
on.
Town business.
All right, you know how we do that, man. We got so many friends in the Bay, it's crazy, right?
Yeah.
This is town business right here, you know what I'm saying? My man Lorenzo Alexander, the one and only, prior to St. Mary College High, went to Cal Berkeley, undrafted in 05, you know what I'm saying? He has been in the NFL forever, all right? Forever in a day, two-time Pro Bowler. So, one-time second team All-Pro, right? He's been with the likes of the Skins, AZ, Oakland, and the Bills recently. All right, shout out to Bills Mafia. We love Bills Mafia, by the way. You know what I'm saying?
We are fans of
Bills Mafia. It's certain teams, though. If you listen, go back and listen. We fancy certain teams,
right.
Even though we're not fans of them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get it.
Cleveland Browns being one of them. We love Cleveland for whatever reason. We just want to see them succeed.
Yeah, even though they let us down on a season by season basis.
You know what? They're just like that kid. You're gonna keep pumping that money into them.
Right.
Hopefully this year's the year. You know, so we want to see great things in Cleveland. And then the Bills Mafia, because any fan base that jumps through tables.
Hey, that's our kind of fans, though.
Utmost
respect
kind of fans. Those guys.
That's what's up.
You get suplexed through a table, we're rocking with it.
So reviewers, you gotta rock with it.
So, reviewers, I'm proud to announce, you know what I'm saying, our guest today, Mr. Lorenzo Alexander. Welcome to the show, brother. How you doing?
How
your mama
great.
Damn eyes, everybody
doing? Everybody's doing real good. You know, obviously, shout out to all the mothers out there that I know, part of my family, but a special shout out to my wife, Manjanique. You know, we're at home right now in Paradise Valley, and we have four kids, and so she does a great job with them every single day. And then beyond that, you know, shout out to my own mom. She also lives here in Phoenix now, so it's going to be real cool that she gets to come over later. And, you know, your boy, I'm from Cali, but I got Southern roots, so I'm going down today, a little bit of a dinner, you know, some ribs, some salmon, some shrimp and grits. And so I got my trigger out there burning in the back right now, so it's going to be some good eats later on this afternoon.
Beautiful thing, man. Beautiful thing.
Wow.
You know, man. So we right now, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, we this crazy, crazy time that we're in right now, man.
Yeah.
Everybody's been locked up in the house. Quarantine has been happening, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going on, what, three months and change now?
Yeah,
we have been held hostage by this pandemic, or as Jim Jones called it, this pandemic. All right. I don't know if you saw the Twitter Hood Weather and news report, you know, his most recent one. You know, how he started. He's tapping his foot, you know what I'm saying? He come over to the camera and he started talking shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did one of those recently. Jim Jones is sick, bro. So he was calling it a pandemic. He was like, got the pandemic going on. So being held hostage by this pandemic that we in right now.
Right, yeah.
I said it. You got 4 kids, wife under the roof. Have you reached a level of insanity just yet?
You know what, to be honest, and I really haven't, man. And I hate, it's not even gloating, but just my situation I'm living in right now in Paradise Valley. You know, God has been so good and blessed us with resources that, I mean, the home and where we're living, I mean, I got a huge backyard, so we can get out the house. Obviously, living in Phoenix, the weather is always awesome. And so even though we're confined to this house and, you know, our property, I still have my little safe havens where I get out to the gym and I'm lifting weights or jumping on my Peloton, or I'm taking the kids outside, training them, working them out. And then even on top of that, I've been learning to do a couple of new things. So whether I'm reading or trying to get on this piano, you talk about Little Richard, I just saw him, they had like a story on him, obviously giving him tribute. And I was right. Like, man, I want to be like that. That dude can play that piano. So yeah. I've been starting to do some things like that just to move forward as I've transitioned out of the game and I'm at home and got a lot of family time.
Yeah, that's what's up, man. You talking about that damn piano, man. My father was a music cat, right?
Oh, okay.
Mississippi born and bred and music cat, you know what I'm saying? He had a little group, man, back in the day. They used to open up for the Ohio Players and the last night of Pips. You know, so my pops moved to Indiana, which is where I was born. Wasn't raised there, but I was born there, you know what I'm saying? So in Fort Wayne, that's where my folks is at. Gary, Indianapolis, Fort Wayne, shout out, you know what I'm saying, Mia Wins, what it do, Benny, you know what I'm saying, what up, though? And
what up, though?
He played the electric guitar, acoustic guitar, the bongos, drums, piano, wow. And the cello.
Yeah,
he played the cello, too?
Oh, yeah, he did all that.
Wow.
So my pops used to always try to teach me how to play the guitar, bro, like, always, and I would never do it, because I'm always outside. You know, we were young, you know, like Tony Baker said all the time, we live for outside. Outside was a crucial part of our life. No matter where you was at, it was cool back then to be outside. So I was like, nah, I'm out. Man. I'm gonna go play basketball. I'll be down the road. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, do that, man. You know what I'm saying? Because that's something I'm definitely gonna do as I get older. Pick up that guitar. Benny, my man here, you know what I'm saying? He dabbles, you know what I'm saying? So I'm looking for some lessons, Ben, you know what I'm saying?
Listen, whatever my background, I can play. I can give you a little bit of everything. So you let me know what you want to do. You want to start playing guitar? You want to go? Listen, I mean, you got JB. You got an R&B album in you, bro. You got not only you got an album, you got. I swear, we need to do like a Luther Vandross cover with you. You've been putting in too much work. You got to have the open shirt. You know what I mean? You got to be sitting there like this. You got it. I need a classic 70s R&B album cover.
Look, Benny, I just replied.
You got it in you.
I just replied to one of the homies posted somewhere. It had Lionel Richie and had Teddy P and Luther. And
that Teddy Pendergrass cover, that's what I'm talking about. We got to remake
Teddy,
that
Teddy one. Won, though. You know, because if you look at Teddy, Teddy had the hand placement and he had the boots on.
Teddy's
a full body. Everybody else was just kind of, you know what I'm saying, a school portrait, you know what I'm saying? So, I'm with you, man. I got one in me, you know. So maybe Zoe can play the guitar. I mean, the piano for me. I'm be on a guitar. You be on another guitar.
Right. I mean, Lorenzo. What better time to start your new career? You know, you'd be like, damn, I didn't know I'd go from 15 years in the league to playing guitar for Dr. Jeremy Eugene Bridges.
Looking 40 years old, probably not.
Yeah.
Oh, look. So Zoe, man, we're gonna get into you, man. Tell us about everything, man, from your start in Oakland, you know what I'm saying, California, where you were born and raised. Again, St. Mary College High School, man. Run it down for the review. Let us know what's going on, man.
I know it seems like a lifetime ago, man. You know, obviously, I just finished my 15-year career, and I think when you're going through transition, that, you know, it's kind of funny you ask, man, you kind of reminisce and kind of think back about a lot of the things that allowed you to achieve a lot of those things. And so, obviously, growing up in Oakland, much like any other inner city across the country, we had our issues, right? You know, you had the gangs, you had the drug gang, you know, especially crack cocaine, early 80s. I'm an 80s baby. And so you had a lot of those adversity, you know, issues that faced growing up. And, you know, luckily, you know, we talk about moms. I had my mom was a single parent, but she was a strong mom, you know, old school mom, whoop you. You know, I she had the fear of God in me growing up as a young man. And so luckily between her and my Uncle Steve, they really gave me a lot of great structure, put my priorities as far as education and sports, and kind of steered me away from a lot of the stuff that cats, you know, would fall into, you know, whether it was selling, banging, whatever it may be, you know, robbing cats, whatever it could be. They kind of steered me away from that. And I also, wouldn't be doing my cousin justice, because he was in that game and he was older than me. And so he used to always say, "Hey, man, I catch you out in these streets, I'm gonna whoop your butt," you know, right, for the most part, you know. And so with those three people really put me on the right path, and, did well in school, was always one of the top athletes in my area. Did some of the AAU basketball, was a baseball player, didn't play football until high school, just because I was a bigger kid. You know, as JB would know, you know, I used to be a D tackle. I was 315 at one time in the league, so I was a big kid. And so that's really where my background was more of hoop, and basketball. And then once I got to high school, and that's where my Uncle Steve, who I mentioned, one of the guys that was more like my father figure, kept me straight and narrow. I played for him football in high school. And between him and our head coach, Dan Shaughnessy, I mean, they was old school cats, you know. And so I don't know if half these cats playing ball now could even deal with the type of stuff we used to have to deal with. You know, you talking about getting water. It wasn't no water.
No.
Man, you was weak if you got water. You knew concussions. I mean, we was out on a dirt field. It was just bad. You know what I mean? And so the way they tried to just grind you, you know, at the time it felt like, man, this is the end of the world. What are we doing? But, you know, actually it paid off, you know, just building that foundation of grinding, hard work, overcoming adversity. And especially when you get to the league where you're dealing with people fighting for their their livelihoods, you gotta have that type of background. And that's why for me, that's why I was able to play for so long, because my grind was different than a lot of these young kids coming in. Where it was more far few between that really knew how to grind, because the culture had changed. And not that it's bad, it just was different. And I think mine just gave me that upper hand as far as that. You know, obviously after high school, I was able to catapult that to a D1 scholarship to the number one university in the nation, Cal, and academically.
Okay.
You got that. I see you got that Southern Miss rocking that. What years were you there? Because we played y'all. What years were you there?
Oh, man. I look, first of all, so I think what you 36 right now, 37 maybe?
Don't act like I'm that much older than you.
So I'm 40 years old, you know what I'm saying? So
okay.
So yeah, I'm 40 years old, so you know, I'm older than you.
I just missed you.
Right.
I'm turning 37 this year.
I left there in 03, and I think that next year, you know what I'm
saying? We played 04. Yeah, 04 we played before the ball game. Yeah, okay, all right. So you wasn't on that team. I was about to get on you a little bit, but you wasn't a part of that, so I don't even need to talk trash about it.
You know what I'm saying?
But another experience that I had in college, my first year there, we were trash. It was 2001, so 9/11 happened in that year. So that game that we had versus, I can't remember if it was Temple or it was Rutgers. So that game got canceled. We were 0-10.
Wow.
My freshman year in college. And we ended up going to play Rutgers and beat them. So we were 1-11. And then, so just the whole story, I don't want to go through every single year, but when we left, we were number 5 in the country and we're 10-2. And so I really got to see the process of what it took to become good or great, you know, however you want to categorize it, because the team really wasn't that different. But the way we worked, we had a vision. We had new leadership, a new head coach, Jeff Tefford. Obviously, we had some other pieces that came along, because Marshawn Lynch was a part of that team, Brandon Mebane, Aaron Rodgers. So we had talent, but it wasn't significantly different at that time compared to what we had when we went 0-11. So not only was I, you know, birthed in the old school mentality, but then I also got to see the process of what leadership looked like and how important that was and the vision was to be on a successful team. And so all that stuff catapulted me to get into the NFL. Obviously, I went undrafted, but through meeting great dudes, I was like JB. I was my rookie year, I was around guys like Steve Smith, Julius Peppers, Brenton Buckner, who's the D-line coach now with the Cardinals, London Fletcher when I was with the Redskins, just guys, Kyle Williams, Larry Fitzgerald throughout my career that has really allowed me to have an extended career with those relationships and obviously with my talent. And then also being just very moldable. As I mentioned early on, I was a D tackle when I first stepped on the field. I played at like, 315 was my heaviest. I was probably normally like 295. And then by the time I got out of there, I was 240. And so for me, being an undrafted guy, just really trying to find my way, trying to find how I could carve out a niche. And I think being undrafted, being cut a couple of times will really humble you, right? You know, because we all was that guy growing up. And so how do you handle adversity, man? You gotta be resourceful, you know? Coming from the hood, you gotta figure out, you know, how I'm gonna eat. You know, you gonna make, what are you gonna go to that refrigerator? What do I got to make? Ketchup, cheese, and here goes some ham. Okay, let me mix it up, and now I got me a meal, right?
There you go.
So I'm going into the cupboard like, man, what do I got athletically, you know? And so I was versatile, I was athletic, and so I ended up playing like guard, defensive tackle, tight end, fullback, and did some special teams. And I was kind of like that niche utility guy, even as a bigger lineman. And that really added some value to myself, where I, you know, was able to make the team after being on practice squad for 2 years. And from there, I never really looked back. And each year, just meeting those people and teammates that either helped my game on the field from a technical standpoint, or more importantly, off the field, you know, just from growing up, maturity, how to take care of your body, how do you become a pro, and all those things. And so eventually I became a Pro Bowl on special teams, you know, really found my value there, had some adversity, got hurt, and then eventually fell into the Buffalo Bills, where I kind of had a resurgence and had 12 and a half sacks, made an all-pro team and another Pro Bowl. And so that's kind of, you know, my story in a very quick nutshell, as far as where I was and where I've been. And now I'm in the transition of walking away from the game and trying to figure out what's next.
Mm. I'm glad you said a lot of things you said about the grind and about the foundation. Like, right now it is different, right? And we old men yelling at the cloud. I'm going to be that. Yeah. I'm just going to be that guy. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yep.
It's different, and you know, because you've been in it the last 3 years, I know you saw like the craziest transition, like as far as, especially the biggest transition, and it's probably the biggest difference from when we were younger, and it's probably training camp, right?
Oh, yeah.
Man, training camp is like cake right now, you know?
Right.
And even the way that these kids get treated, so I know you, because I'll be tripping just watching it sometimes. I'm like, man, these kids get treated like superstars out the gate.
Yeah,
you know what different. I mean? Like, and
yeah, and even on the league level, I think they have to do it, because the kids ain't built to take it like we used to.
Right.
Because if you was a cuss some of these or talk to some of these dudes in a certain type of way, they would mentally break down and go into a shell, and you couldn't get nothing out of them. And right. So I understand why coaches in the NFL have done it, because the coaches shifted that way. And in order to get the best out of them, they have to, we call it coddling, but they have to cater to them in a certain way so that they can still coach them and get something out of them. But yeah, they wouldn't have lasted. Joe Bugles, I mean, they couldn't. A coach like that,
nah.
He would break a lot of spirits.
Hard nose. Like, right. It was Joe Bugles' story, because you was in the building, but you wasn't in the meeting room. I could have slapped the shit out of Joe like 3 times. One day, I'll never get this. Me and Sam, we sit across from each other. So Joe was riding me, bro, like, just, and you remember back in the day how Joe was teaching them kids how to play ball, like trying to two-hand uppercut, punch, and
pass. Right, yeah. I had him as a coach for a little bit.
Work. So, yeah. You know, he was trying to get me, a six-year guy at the time, who had success doing what I was already doing, to learn to do this. And I was just like, Joe, like, let me just play ball. I got you. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'll pick the playbook up, ain't none of that. That's all out the window. That's nothing.
Right.
You have to do something that I'm not comfortable doing, and that shouldn't be how it goes, right? So one day he was right, bro. I'm tapping, I got a pen in my hand, and I'm popping the hell out of this pen. I'm like, every time he starts talking, I'm sitting there listening, and I'm just popping the shit out of this pen, And I was about to turn around and Chris grabbed my hand. He was like, nah, just chill, you know what I'm saying? Just let him do what he's doing. I joined him at the time. He's getting kind of see now. But yeah. Me and Joe are all right now. Like, last time I seen him, we hugging and kissing, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm like, yeah, whatever, motherfucker.
Yeah.
But that's dope, though, man. That's a lot. And a lot of our young reviewers, I hope you listen. You listen real well, you know what I'm saying, what the man just got to saying. Like, about, especially about kind of reinventing yourself. Because you're right, when you get cut, like, man, I remember the first time I got cut, I was at a barbecue, and my phone rang. And I'm like, hello? And like, yeah, Jerry, from the Eagles. I'm like, okay, what's up? He's like, you just bring your playbook in. I'm like, say what? Like,
what?
Camp,
right.
Camp. I'm like, hold on, what? Heart dropped in my ass. I didn't say nothing to nobody. I got in my truck and I left. Went and took my playbook up there, and I'm like, what do I do now? You know what I'm saying? So I prayed about it, and Arizona called. But you learn that experience, man. It's heartbreaking. It's saying some people can't bounce back from that. But, you know, where we was raised, come from nothing. I hate to use the word nothing, but that's where we come from. You know what I'm saying? We come from the bottom. Got out the mud, if you will. And so at that point, you're like, okay, well, what do I do now? What did I do wrong? You know what I'm saying? What did I do to get to this point, where I'm at right now?
Yeah.
And then you go from there, you know what I'm saying? Because, shit, I was a second round draft pick. That's damn near being undrafted, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
03. Like, now you're a sixth round draft pick. You damn near guaranteed 1 year. Biggest thing in the world. But back then, it wasn't. So, had to fight, claw, scratch, you know what I'm saying? And I feel that, you know what I'm saying? Everything you were saying about just the grind, you know what I'm saying? Just the grind. I know Benny got a couple things we'll holler.
Well, I mean, you illustrate a good point, because let's talk about that. Mr. Alexander used a key word that he said multiple times, and anybody who's been listening to this podcast knows we go a little bit more in depth than the flashiness of what you expect to see from someone who's played in the league or been through the process. Undrafted. You played 15 years undrafted. Most cats are only doing 3.5 if they're lucky.
You played
15 undrafted. So, please, for our younger viewers, we got a lot of cats who are at that level where they're getting recruited, they've already signed their offers, they've committed, they're in that space. From where you were at Cal, going from that, where your mindset was from that to actually being in a league where you thought you actually may get drafted, to the point where now you're undrafted, now they can just pick you up as a free agent. What did you do to make that transition in your mind? From, like you said, you being the man, and then you're like, damn.
I mean, looking at it now, you know, being 30, I'll be 37 in May. I mean, I didn't handle it well at all. I mean, I don't think anybody's prepared for that.
Right.
Because nobody was talking about, you're not thinking about failure. And so you never really even prepare yourself or have people talking to your life, because none of your family ever been in the league or none of your friends. And so they can't even speak to that type of mindset that you have to have and what that feels like. And so did I handle it well? No. And I probably didn't handle it well for the first couple of years until I got cut. I mean, I went out drinking, partying, and all this other stuff that really didn't even add to me achieving my goal. I didn't even realize I was working against myself, right? And so now if I have to go back and do it all over again, I would definitely have a different mindset and attack it way differently and understand that I want my actions to add up to what I'm trying to achieve, whatever that goal may be every single day. And so I actually have to talk to the rookies for the Bills in a couple of weeks, right? And so I really have more concepts that you need to take into your first year, really in the life, versus do XYZ, because XYZ looks different for everybody, because everybody's a different position, or you hold and take a hold on the different things. But these concepts that I have, kind of leading off with first, humility is number one. I think we all have an ego and are very prideful, and whether you get drafted or not, you need to walk into the next level as you transition from college to pros and assume you know nothing, because the game is completely different. The way the coaches are going to coach are going to be completely different. And you probably, most likely, did not have a lot of holes in your game that you're not even aware of. But because you've been so more naturally gifted than everybody else, they haven't been exposed yet.
Right.
And so you need to walk into the building like as you know nothing. Still be confident. It doesn't mean that you're not be confident, but you need to let go of your pride and allow people and coaches to speak into your life. And then also ask questions, right? And not assume that you know every single thing. And then as you obviously go, you'll figure out which the right questions to ask to figure out to where you want to get to, which leads me into my next point is relationships. You need to be confident enough to walk up to whoever the veteran or fourth or fifth year player that is in your position group and say, hey, bro, hey, I need you. I don't get it. I kind of know, but I really need your help. What made you great? Why are you still around? Why did you pass that 3.5 year mark, right? So build those relationships. Because I look back, I had a Brinson Buckner. I had a London Fletcher. Even when I got older, I had a Kyle Williams. And so that never changes. You always need those relationships in your life wherever you're at and in different facets to really help you understand and really give you a picture of what it looks like. Because I can tell you something, but if I show you, you really, oh, that's what it really looks like. That's what he actually means. And right. you can take that from him. And then lastly for me is serving. You go in there with the mindset of how can I help this team, or how can I help this locker room, or how can I help my teammate on and off the field, and not like, what can you do for me, right? And I think when you open yourself up to that and you serve, and I'm all about serving from the front because that's a form of leadership to me, you naturally start having people gravitate towards you. And I think for me, that's how you build value, when you have all three of those things. Because coaches and organizations, especially now, are looking for leadership qualities, because there are so many young cats that don't get it, that don't understand, they're immature for whatever reason. And so if you can go in there with that mindset, the number one thing you're going to do is gain their trust, because the best players don't play on Sundays. Right. The ones the coaches trust play on Sundays, because yeah. now their job is at stake anytime they stick you out there. And so those principles, I think, lead to trust the quickest with the coaches as well as your teammates. And that's what you want. You want people to trust you and value you as a player. And the only way you can maintain that value and the trust, if you consistently grow every single year and be consistent in that. And so it's going to look different. It looked different for JB than it looked for me. You know, it looked different from what Kyle Williams to whatever the new guy, Isaiah Simmons, the linebacker that just came out for the Arizona Cardinals. It's all going to look different, but if you have those general principles in mind, you're going to be able to carve yourself out, I think, an extended career. Not that it's going to be 15, right. but instead of 3, you may get 5. Instead of 1, you may get 3. You know, and that's what it's all about, extending that end date out for yourself as long as possible and making sure that you're not the issue of why you find yourself out of the league and living with regret.
Right, exactly. And to follow up on that, you mentioned, and I think you would probably agree, the reason why you were able to, you know, stick around as long as you were is because you proved your worth in multiple positions, hence becoming the one-man gang, and you were able to, especially on special teams. So I'm curious to know, because I'm thinking – if my instincts serve me correctly, I think I know what you're going to say. You got selected for the Pro Bowl twice. You got selected in your you know, your natural position at linebacker in 2016, made the second team All-Pro like you mentioned. But in 2012, you got selected as a special teamer. Do you think it was maybe a little bit more special in 2012 that kind of proved your worth in terms of what you're able to do?
In most definitely, yeah. Yeah, it's easy. I mean, it just really – first of all, it's my first one, so it really solidified right. what I was able to go from as far as being undrafted, getting cut, to now being, you know, one of the top players in the league, right? And for special teams, they only take one guy. It's not like linebacker, right. they take 3, 4, depending if it's like outside backer. And so it's much harder to even to do. And there was a lot of great guys that played special teams at that moment. So for me to solidify myself in 2012, and, you know, we got to the playoffs that year, that was probably the cooler experience because it was my first, and it really validated, I think, I don't want to say my worth, but at least it put me on a national scale as far as, okay, this dude can play ball.
Okay. I love it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So look, Mr. Bridges, I think what we should do is this. Let's get into a little break, and then when we come back, we're going to introduce Mr. Alexander to a couple of our patented segments. We're going to throw some stuff at you. And we're gonna see what you're thinking. And we're going to finish the show with one of JB's favorite segments that's gonna let you, you know, get your shit off, so to speak. Puff your chest out. So we're gonna let you close it out that way.
Fun, baby, you know what I'm saying?
You know what I mean?
Go to the office, baby. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Exactly. All that more when we come back. This is the JB and Benny Blue Review Podcast. We'll be right back, bitches.
You're right. Yeah. Hey, Bird Gang. This is your boy, former Cardinal Jeremy Bridges. Tune into the number one podcast on the web, my show, JB and Benny Blue Review, right here on KSRN Arizona.
And 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. What's good, reviewers? We appreciate you joining us. This is the JB and Benny Blue Review podcast. We are joined by the man himself, the one man gang, Mr. Lorenzo Alexander. He's got some ribs cooking and he can't wait.
Yes, sir.
JB, when he said that, you being the vegetarian / pescatarian, you got a little twinkle in your eye.
Listen, let me tell you something. It's only certain things that trigger me missing meat. Like, you know what I'm saying? Good ribs, and I trust he's my guy. I trust him. He said he making ribs. I'm like, okay, I trust him. Spice, I know Spicy throw down with the ribs. There's only certain cats, you know what I'm saying? And when they say I'm cooking ribs, you're like, oh man.
I hear you, bro. I'm gonna put some salmon on though for me, so you could come over and eat some of that.
That's what I said. I knew the salmon.
You know,
that salmon now, you know what I'm saying? But like, ribs, Popeye's chicken. If I smell it, bro, like that, that's the only time that I want to like backslide ever.
I hear that.
Like, oh, man. It was such an intricate part of growing up, you know what I'm saying? Like being in the South, man, we ate Popeye's chicken. That was kind of a Sunday thing. Like, mama didn't feel like cooking, you know what I'm saying? We go to Popeye's, get a family pack, and that'd be that, you know what I'm saying? Or go to Golden Corral, you know what I'm saying? But you know, that's
damn.
All you can eat, baby, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so hit them with some work, man. What we got coming up, man?
Well, yeah, man. You got that quarantine discipline, so you know you're living that clean life now. I'm proud of you, man. You've been doing it. I don't know, Lorenzo. I don't know if you've seen JB in the flesh recently, but he's lean and mean now.
Okay, all right. What you weighing at now? What you weighing in at?
But probably I got on the scale like a week ago. When I hurt my back, it was 294.
Okay.
Yeah.
Buddy.
I hear you.
I've gotten taller like since last time you see me. Like when I retired though, I went crazy. I went out to LA. I ran LA Fitness for 2 years as a director of personal training. So that really kind of got me rolling, you know what I'm saying, on my mission as far as like getting myself down, because you know how I go, man. You know what I'm saying? Cats are gonna go left or they're gonna go right. You know what I'm saying?
Right, yep.
I ain't trying to go left, because I done seen some cats, man. I'm talking about you see them, you like,
ooh, what happened to you, boy? Yeah, bad body.
So I refuse to be that guy. And then
who's
a dying? Like, you know what I'm saying? We're athletes, you know what I'm saying? We're special people. We're not really meant to live that long, especially bigger dudes.
Right.
So, you know, I got to rolling out with that. And then I was dealing with a young lady that kind of helped me and persuaded me, you know what I'm saying, to fall into the whole vegetarian life. Shout out to Sierra Townsend, you know what I'm saying? Daughter of Robert Townsend. That's my homie to this day, all day, every day. And she really introduced me to the game. And I took all one day and rolled with it, bro. You know, and I ain't looking back. So, you know, fitness is like my thing. That's my saying.
Yo.
I was joking with you the other day on Twitter, you know what I'm saying? When you was like, you ain't think you gonna start working out so soon? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's gonna happen real quick. but see, that's all a part of it. You can't stop doing what got you to where you're
right.
Successful. Like, you can't stop doing that, like, because it's going to continue to be a part of your life. It's going to keep you even keeled, going to keep you balanced, you know what I'm saying? So it's more so people be like, oh, you're a meathead, you crazy, you want to work out all the time. It's part of my sanity, right?
Yeah,
you
know, it is.
Feel me? So, that's our love right there. So, Ben, what we got coming up, man? What segment we about to do?
All right, so look. We're going to do a couple of your patented segments, but these are going to be the Lorenzo Alexander editions. Lorenzo, we got a segment that's just for JB. It's called JB's You Win It or Not. We're throwing five different topics, and we got to see if he's messing with it or he's cool on it. So without further ado, this is JB's You Win It or Not, the Orlando Magic. The Lorenzo Alexander edition. Cue the music. Pop, pop, pow. That's right, people. All right, so we're going to start in the NFL. So I know you don't have to show up for training camp anymore.
Yeah,
over. But the NFL still moves on, and JB, they dropped the schedule. But if you notice, they dropped the schedule as if it's business as usual, and we got the Roni happening right now. So the NFL schedule. Is it gonna be the regularly scheduled program, Mr. Alexander? Are you with it or not? Is it gonna happen like it normally happens? What do you think?
Not with it. No way. New York and Cali said they ain't having sports until 2021. So unless they come up with something significant change, there's no way they're gonna do it as regularly scheduled. They're gonna have to come up with something. It's gonna be an abbreviated season, I think.
Okay. JB, what you think?
So here's the thing, Zoe, and me and Benny go back and forth with this, and I tell people all the time, and you know, that the alligator that the NFL is, right?
The money.
The revenue that it generates. And when it comes to the money, all right, ain't nothing going to fuck up the money, all right? So,
buddy.
They said the same thing, right? They said the exact same thing. They were like, we ain't doing nothing, no kind of events till 2021. Oh, when the pockets get to hurting, you know what I'm saying? The NFL's influence starts to occur, and that's what really does it. The NFL's influence. They're like, oh, y'all don't want to handle sports for 2021? Nah. We got a stadium over there in East Rutherford. you know what I'm saying, that y'all got to fill up. You know what I'm saying? That's, it just is what it is. So we're going to figure out a way to do this. I'm telling you, and I'll tell everybody, the NFL will be rolling day one, all right? And it's
okay.
Gonna be, like you said earlier about it, it's going to be different, but it's going to be the NFL. It's going to work. It's like the train that it is.
Word. Word. Okay. All right. So Lorenzo thinking not so much. JB thinks that the money's going to talk for the schedule. So, all right, we shall see, certainly. All right. Speaking of the draft, Jim Harbaugh of my Michigan Wolverines wrote an open letter to the football community that is proposing doing away with the current rules calling for players to wait 3 years from the end of high school before they can enter the draft. He says the individual could choose to declare for the professional draft after any season he chooses. If he's drafted within the first 224 picks of the NFL draft or chooses to sign a free agent contract, he would forego remaining college eligibility. However, if the individual is not drafted within the first 224 picks of the NFL draft, he would be able to return to college football if he chooses without penalty, provided he remains in academic compliance and does not receive payment from an agent. Mr. Alexander, NFL prospects being able to return to school if they're not drafted in the first 224, are you with it or not?
Shoot, I'm with that, man. If I'm good enough, why not come out early and not risk injury? But I can tell you this, it's just like JB talking about that money. I don't know if the NCAA gonna be down for losing their best players that early. So it ain't. I'm with it, but I doubt this gonna happen because they massage each other very well, the NFL and the NCAA.
Okay, JB.
Another point, man. Just that last little bit of stipulation that you put in there about if they don't accept money from an agent, just like Loza said, the NCAA, the probably the bigger. Big, when it comes, like you said, they massage each other. When it comes to the NFL and NCAA, they like this. Like, these organizations, they're multi-billion-dollar organizations, and they are alligators. They run everything. Ain't no nothing happen without them moving and shaking. So, I don't know. It sounds good. All that gangster shit you're talking here, it sounds good. But you got to show me. Yeah. That's going to have to – it's going to have to be some concrete things going on for that to even like occur. But I mean, it'd be great, man. You know, second summer,
right? Right.
They didn't play ball after their sophomore year. How many kids have we seen that have played to their sophomore year and then they like want to stay one more year? And I ain't gonna even say get hurt, but just kind of fell off or something happened. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So you get that blanket of getting in the NFL and getting that security, having that little money behind you and getting drafted because you're that good. Yeah.
Harbaugh just sound like he mad he can't recruit any NFL players anymore. He trying to get Alabama.
Greasy.
That's what he sound like.
I didn't want to say it because Benny gets a little touchy about Michigan. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, is that what it is? That's what it sound like to me. He can't compete.
He go blue now.
Hey, we win the series. Hey, we're leading the series. We got more wins. We got more natties. I don't want to hear it, Ohio State. Hey, by the way, he's talking about everybody. He ain't talking, Steve, just talking about one school. So, hey.
Money talks, JB. It does.
All right. Speaking of talking some shit, Mr. Alexander, I'm pretty sure you've been at least checking out some of this Last Dance documentary, like most of us.
Of course.
Happening with the Bulls. Yeah. Here's the thing. We said, JB, you know, we said this on this podcast. We know the real reasons behind some of this stuff. We're going to do a full episode on this, by the way. Last Dance conspiracy theory is coming up. Yeah. It keeps getting beat into the ground, Lorenzo, that Jordan was the one that kept Isaiah off of the Dream Team. So simply,
right,
or not, was he the reason, or do you believe it was another reason? I know the real reason. So does JB.
I don't know the real reason, but I mean, obviously, he had a lot to do with it. I mean, between him, Magic, and Bird, why? Yeah, they don't want him on there. They don't like him. That's what happens when you're an ass. Mm-hmm. Simple. As simple as that. I mean, they said it. I mean, it is. Yeah, it is. And they had more juice at the time than Isaiah.
Yeah, it is. If it was
Michael they didn't like, Mike would have still been on that team regardless because he had the juice.
It just is what it is.
It was the constant tyrant. Like, he's soft-spoken. Pretty boy, you look at him, you think he's a choir boy, you know what I'm saying, from Five Heartbeats. Nah, Isaiah Thomas, dickhead, bro. Like, on that court, he didn't like nobody. they were telling a story. I forget who I was listening to tell that story about John Sally. And he threw the ball to him. And in the game, in practice or in the game situation, he gave him the ball on a fast break and he laid it up. So Isaiah went up to him and was like,
John, if you don't dunk that basketball next time, you won't see that basketball for the next 2 months.
Like, what? Yo, he was about that, and he was about that mess. As we say today, he was ratchet. Like, he was the epitome of ratchet. Hell no, they didn't want him on the team. Because it would have been a bunch of sideline. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Gold medal, it would have been a bunch of sideline Isaiah. Because, you know, Isaiah, Isaiah's Isaiah shit.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Imagine Isaiah, that practice they had where they was all getting into it, you know what I'm saying? Yada, yada, yada. Like, after that practice would have happened, they got on the bus. It has still been some beef, you know what I'm saying? Because Isaiah was rolling. Isaiah, he was, you know, it is what it is. Like Jordan had the juice, so you don't want him there, he ain't going to be there. Right.
There it is. All right, couple more for you. And honestly, we may kind of already know this answer, but I'm curious to get your opinion on this. So UFC 249 was last night. Now, I didn't watch it. We're not huge UFC on this program, but, you know, a little bit. And they held it in Jacksonville, but they held it to no fans. And just kind of looking at some of the feedback, people were still watching. And as you mentioned, the schedule maybe being pushed in 2021 and all that, you know, UFC with no fans. Do you think setting the standard for sporting events going forward for the rest of the year, are you with it or not? Can you see sports with no fans?
Yeah, I'm with it. I mean, because money rules all. And so if they got to get back, the sooner they can get back, the better. And the only way they're going to be able to do that is with no fans. And so they thinking about the TV contracts. And everybody right now is looking for something. You got people watching, what is that, the Korean Baseball League? Come on, bro. I mean, they trying to find any way they can get the NBA, the NHL, obviously start the NFL on time so they have stuff to watch. And the TV and the marketing dollars for that is going to be crazy. So they definitely want to try to figure out a way, and there's going to be no fans initially.
Okay.
So, I mean, anytime the NFL draft, the last draft that just happened, this past draft just happened, was probably one of the most watched events in the history of the world. Right.
Right.
Because the NFL show us a bullshit, bro. Like, man, like, I done seen more. Look, I done heard more NFL film music than I want to hear, bro, for the next 4 or 5 years, dog. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I'm like, dog, when you hear that music, you listen, you watch some shit from the 60s. You like, man, right. I know these cats, but I don't know. I damn sure don't want to watch them. I'm like, man, look. Hey, look, I'll be like, we just talked about the NFL. Starting on time. It's going to be different. They're going to find a way to get these sports back going. It's going to be different. I watched a little bit of the UFC last night, and it was cool. It's weird, but like, you don't really pay attention to the fact that there's no fans there because you watch the fight. Only thing that eventually you freak out because you don't hear nothing. You know what I'm saying? You hear them licks. Like, you know what I'm saying? You can hear them licks. Like, you can hear them plain as day. So it was a little different, but I mean, you know.
Yeah, I see the NFL pumping noise, though, too. They'll probably pump a little noise so you can at least feel like you're watching.
They were doing that with the fans.
There's
a few teams that
Seattle's already set up.
Indianapolis, but I'm going to give you another team, though. Atlanta.
Talk about it.
It sounds like you listen to a jet taking off. You're like, man, what is that, man?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You're like, what is that damn noise I'm hearing? There ain't no fans, man. I don't know what the hell that is. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
747 taking off outside.
Right. And finally, since you are in the process of learning some instruments, we're going to take it to music for this final one. I don't know if you've been checking out. I know JB has. I have. I don't know if you've been checking out any of the Verses Instagram Live battles with different iconic artists, but they've done a bunch of them, and the next one apparently is Ludacris versus Nelly. So first and foremost, are you with it? And if so, who wins? It's sneakier than people think. It's sneakier than people think.
Oh, it's not, baby. Oh, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm with it. I don't know if I would even tune in. I don't see them as. And I mean, obviously, I'm not a rapper. I don't see them as lyricists, like something I would really want. They're great entertainers, and they have stuff to say that make you like, hey. So right. I'm going to go with Ludo on this one. As far as battling and being able to destroy somebody, I think he has more creative delivery when it comes to that type of stuff.
But what they're doing, though, is they're doing their hits. And this is why.
Oh, their hits.
This is why there's no competition. Luther's first three albums were bangers. All of them went platinum.
Oh, yeah.
They were bangers. Yeah, you can listen to 8 songs on every album he put out. Nelly put out what, 2 albums?
No, you can't do that, yeah.
And they weren't, like, the first one, Country Grammar, was cool, but I only know 2 songs of Country Grammar.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, if they're doing that, then it's Luda. It's Luda. And then when you start, going Luda, back and forth.
You start to factor in the fact that Luda's features, now you talk about lyrics, now Luda can rap. Now you can go.
Yeah.
So you start talking about his features, and then a lot of times they'll play music that they produce. So DTP versus we're looking at this right here. We're looking at a landslide.
Yeah,
you were saying, being like, oh, it's sneaky close. No, the hell it ain't.
Maybe if they keep it to like, you only can play 10 songs, then he got a chance, maybe.
Nelly might have to call the same one. Yeah, he's gonna grab Murphy Lee and everybody.
That's what you have to call somebody to shut that thing down, because he don't stand a chance.
Right. So Lorenzo, let me ask you this: who would be your dream matchup? Who would you want to see? Like, this would definitely be a clutch matchup.
You know what? I'm so far out of the rap game right now.
They do R&B. I don't know. That is rap.
But I mean, I like cats like, y'all heard of like Bizzle, Lecrae, Annie Menio. These are like gospel hip hop rappers that I really like. They got it's pretty dope, man. If you ain't listened to them, you should definitely check them out. And it ain't like that, because the first time you hear about gospel hip hop, what? These dudes go hard, man. Yeah, and so I'll probably, a Derek Minor and Bizzle, or like a Bizzle and NWA. Way I like him. I like they flow. Probably one of those two probably go down for me. I'll definitely tune in for that.
You know what I'm saying? Like that's a good concept though. So that'd be dope though. You know what I'm saying? Because my thing is like, I'm old school to the point where I'm old Southern Baptist. You know what I'm saying? Like when I hear church music, I want to hear, I want to hear some riffs, some moaning, some groaning. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
Hey, God, same going on.
Yeah.
Lecrae, I've had the pleasure of meeting Lecrae at my barbershop. You know what I'm saying? Great dude. You know what I'm saying? He's a capper like my barber, so they was doing all that.
Oh, yeah, I hear you.
You know what I'm saying? Good cat. And you would never think, like, and everybody sees, like Zill's trying to get at the whole godly thing. Like, you can be a Christian, you can be a God-fearing man and still be cool. You know what I'm saying?
Right, yeah.
Still be cool. So, like, they rapping, you know what I'm saying? It's the same thing as other rapping artists, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're rapping about their realities and the thing that they're dealing with within the religious, format. So, yeah, that'd be cool. That'd be dope as hell, without a doubt.
Yeah, I'm into it. All right, look, we've had a hell of an episode, but reviewers, we're gonna leave you on this. We're gonna bring you JB's burning segment, but this is gonna be the Lorenzo Alexander edition. Lorenzo, if you don't know what this is JB's segment where he cuts a promo. He does a Suge Knight at the 95 Source Award. You can talk about anything. This could be sports, social issues, things that you've been dealing with during quarantine. Whatever you want to speak on, the next few minutes, the floor is yours. What do you got to burn on right now? What's been that? What is in your heart that you got to get off your chest?
Man, there's so much crazy stuff going on right now. But if I had to talk about one thing, I mean, this Ahmaud Arbery thing that had just happened, obviously down in Georgia, is probably. I mean, and I know it's reality, right? So it happens all the time. We just happen to hear about this one specific story. And so our world is so crazy, and a lot of times I think people are so blinded, like it doesn't happen, that it's almost infuriating, because I know what my reality is. Even though I live in Paradise Valley, I still, like, if I'm driving, I feel like a car is following me. I mean, is this dude following me, or you know what? Or is the police behind me for a certain reason? But I drive a nice car, I still feel that certain way, and having young black sons, I get nervous when they ride off of my block and they're by themselves, just like Ahmaud was jogging. My son the other day had ridden his bike and was actually in like this construction area, like just playing in the hole. And I'm like, man, where is my dude at? And so that's the first, place my mind goes. Like, is he okay? Because I know he's playing. Is he hurt? Like, is anybody going to bother him when I don't have my eyes on him, because they see a young black boy? Is he up to doing something no good? And what are the ramifications of something like that, of what they're going to think or maybe even do to him? And so, this hit home because I am a father now. Obviously, I'm a black man living in America, and so it's always a constant reminder. And so, for me, I just having those conversations, you know, because people feel like they don't have any impact because it's not their issue, it's not their child. And I would, you know, for me, I would challenge, you know, your white listeners, your African-American listeners, when you see some cats that you know and you know they have a racist heart or a racist mindset, call them out on it. You may not feel that way and agree with it, but you can stop certain people from doing things by holding them accountable when y'all have those conversations and they say something that you like, ooh, well, I'm surprised. I'm glad ain't no black folks around right now.
Mm-hmm.
We got to hold each other accountable and not assuming like it's somebody else's problem. They're not talking about me, so it's okay. And that's in any issue. I don't care what you're talking about, because that hate, them hateful thoughts lead to hateful words that eventually lead to hateful actions. Things that you can't take back, and it's going to change people's lives, including yours, forever.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's kind of where I'm at right now. And you know, it's always hard. How do you make massive impact? But, you know, obviously you just gave me the platform. And so hopefully somebody hears these words and takes it upon themselves to hold one of their people that they know accountable. And maybe we prevent the next shooting, you know, from happening and that may have happened if they didn't have that conversation.
Right.
Absolutely. Man, that is an excellent way to wrap things up, man. We really appreciate you taking out this time. Plug your social media, please, because we know you're still going to be tapping in with the community and staying connected with us. Where can people find you?
Yeah, we're doing a lot of stuff. Obviously, you can find me on Twitter at OneManGang97, on Instagram, Lorenzo_John, and then on both platforms, ACES_Foundation. Just doing work in the community, trying to fill the gap for young youth, at-risk youth living in the hood, growing up, and they may not have all the resources, but they have the gifts to be great. And so just trying to help supplement those along with the family, the school, and coaches that they're involved with to change their trajectory, right? To change their vision, to change their goals and what they think they can accomplish, and then ultimately repeat and give back to their own communities. And so that's kind of what I have going on. That's where you can find me. And I'm always out there to have a great conversation or jump on somebody's podcast. So feel free to reach out via social media.
Pow, pow.
Well, Zo, just so you know, if I get, you know, just so people can hear it, man, out here they have an organization called Heart of the City, and they do a lot of inner city work, man. They do a lot of great things for these kids. You know what I'm saying? I've been to their banquet twice since I've been back out here, you know what I'm saying? And the Cardinals always, you know, they sponsor them.
Okay.
Once this thing gets back cracking, you know what I'm saying? First of all, let me know whenever you got something going on. You know, I'm going to show up. You know,
yep.
Down, you know what I'm saying? The help going on the community and so on and so forth. I'm trying to get my whole inspirational speaking thing going up, you know what I'm saying? Motivational speaking thing going. So once everything gets back going, we definitely got to do some things with Heart of the City, because they deal with a certain section, you know what I'm saying? But it's still minority, black.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They're talented, they want to go to school, they want to succeed in life. And they give them all the resources to do it. You know what I'm saying? It's pretty sweet. They got their own
dope.
Everything. You know what I'm saying? It's dope. So, man, that's beautiful. Man, appreciate you coming on, bro. You know what I'm saying? So many of you is going to be a perfect fit for us. You know what I'm saying? Because I know how you are. And you did phenomenal, brother. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, fellas.
Yeah, man, we appreciate it. So make sure to tap in with him on social media, tap in with us at JB and Benny Blue. And that's it. This has been the JB and Benny Blue Review Podcast. Stay safe. Love each other. Understand each other. Have those comments.
Hold on. You know I got to get my last word.
Oh, get it in. Get it in.
I got to do it. People of the United States of America, just because they're opening up our country back up, don't go ape shit, man. Like,
big feet. And 6 feet.
It's unacceptable. It's crazy, right? People are, you know, and it's like that. People are being defiant. They're like, oh, da, 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 like, come on, man, chill. Like, it's up to us to take care of us, because the government ain't gonna do it. Yeah. And I'm gonna continue to say, if y'all really think that them motherfuckers in Capitol Hill give a damn about you, they don't. All they care about is that, like, we talked about the money. That's all they care about. You know what I'm saying? The reason why they're opening the country back up is because too many Fortune 500 companies are suffering, right? So that means the country's suffering. That means the money ain't right. They don't care about you. They don't care about your testing. It ain't no funding for testing. It ain't no funding for PPE for doctors and nurses.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't no funding for none of this stuff in the works. They don't give a damn about you. Michael Jackson made a whole song about it.
Right? Yeah.
They don't really care about us. They don't. So it's up to us. And it kind of goes right back to what Zoe was saying, as far as like keeping each other accountable, right? It's the same boat. right? Right now, we need each other more than ever. You know what I'm saying? As the youth, we got to take care of the old folks, because the old folks get this pandemic, whatever, you know what I'm saying, this virus, it's most likely going to take them out. You know what I'm saying? So we got to take care of us. And you know what I'm saying? Like, man, look, stop the hate, man. I can go on for a minute. I was going to blow up, right? Mm-hmm. I'm glad you said what you said, so you know what I'm saying? It took it off my shoulders. I really know how I do. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you about to cut a promo. Zoe is like
our white listeners and our white people who are woke. I use the word woke. Who understand that it's to coexist is the most important part about what we got going on. Mm-hmm. Like Zoe just said, man, start opening your mouth. When these things happen, we need you to open your mouth and say something, right? Because our words don't mean shit. Let's be real. Our words don't mean shit. We ain't gonna get no attention. We start kicking those down and killing motherfuckers. And we don't need to do that because it's gonna make it worse on our people. You know what I'm saying? So we need you to open your mouth and to tell those that are doing it that it's unacceptable and you're not gonna deal with it and you're gonna outcast them so that we can, again, coexist. That's what we all have to do. We all need each other on this planet. We really do.
So, exactly, man. Listen, racism is a learned behavior. You know, and you can learn to love. You can learn to love people, and that's all we ask. You know what I'm saying? So that's it. We ain't gonna hold them up. Get to your Mother's Day feast, good sir. We appreciate you rocking with us. This has been the JB and Bane Blue Review, and until next time, stay safe, and we love you.
All right, gang, all day.